I grew up in the seat of a G1350 Moline or a G900 Moline, listened to an AM radio on the right fender. And when that thing was running, I thought I could sing pretty good. But when I turned it off, suddenly it wasn't quite so good. I've been in radio for right nigh on to 40 years right now. And when I was young in the business, it was in a single radio station. And Randy Travis was pretty big through that time. And the door was closed on the farm studio, and I had my headphones on. I'm getting ready to do opening markets. And I think Randy was doing digging up bones. And guys, I was cutting down with him. Yeah. And the light come on, and the door opened up. And it was the general manager of the radio station, Paul Daniel, who was a Baptist deacon from Hazard, Kentucky. And he said, "Boy, don't quit your day job." A whole bunch of years ago, back when I was skinny and had hair, the church I was going to, we had an Easter drama. And I had one of the main parts. And I was a Roman soldier, and I was supposed to be at the foot of the cross and sing. All right. But we weren't doing live music. It was to a tape, which meant that I had to match the tape. I'm somewhere between a bass and a baritone or something else. Anyway, down there. And they had a note that I had to hit was an A for a tenor. And there wasn't a snowball's chance in the Dickens that I was going to hit that note. So they decided, instead of giving up on me, that I would go to a music professor at Kentucky Wesleyan College. And I spent about an hour with him doing progressions and this and that sort of thing. And he said, "Mr. Nally, I have something for you." He said, "You have a wonderful instrument." "Cool." He said, "But you don't know how to use it." I said, "Well, thank you very much. I'm right there with you." The Lord took me from the farm, and I followed my granddad Willie, who was born in 1898. He graduated sixth grade and went back to the farm to help manage it with my great-granddad Stanley. They had 400 acres at the time. And I got to watch and follow that beloved man for so many years. And I hold him dear in my heart. But I got to see agriculture from the back end of mules. And I got to see tractors show up. And I got to see hybrid seed corn show up. And I got to see commercial fertilizer show up. And I got to see bigger tractors and bigger discs. And gosh, we got a 2-row planter. Whoa. Wow. And then we got a 4-row planter. Whoa. And now that's a drop in the bucket. That's a relic compared to what we did. And yields have just continued over and over and over to continue to ramp up. And even in spite of drought and challenges, the Lord has blessed us. And He's continued to show His stewards how to make it better. And there's a lot of people in this world that I find in my business that want to deny that miracle or want to choke the opportunity to move ahead out. But it's the faithfulness of those who believe and those who understand what faith really is. When you borrow $1 million to put stuff in the ground and you're trusting on the Lord above to bring it through, folks, that's faith. That is real faith. On my card, when I pass it out, it says that the network that I work for is a voice for agriculture. And that means that I'm a voice to speak for the farmer, to provide information and things that you need, to hold legislators and bureaucrats accountable, to do things that provide information that will help them make better decisions. But it also puts me in an ambassadorship where I have the opportunity to speak on the farmer's behalf, to speak for them to the consumer and others, to help them understand just how fragile and precious this miracle of life is. And I love it. I think the Lord has built me for it. Years ago, I asked Him, "Get me out of this business, please. It is just consuming me. Please get me out of this." And my wife at the time said, "You're only in it just because of your ego. That's the only reason you do that." And it wasn't the truth. I genuinely want to tell the story of the miracle of life. And I asked Him, I said, if I'm done this just for my ego, then curse me. Strike me down. But at the same time, if I'm doing what you want me to do, selfishly, bless me. And he did. I had worked for one radio station for 23 years. I had given them the very best of me. In terms of ratings, we had an 80% market share at 2 o'clock in the afternoon when markets were on. That's unheard of. But that's just an example of the relationship that he had allowed me to serve. And at that time, I was preaching through the prayer of Jabez, you know, that you would bless me, you would keep me from harm, you would expand my borders, oh, that you would bless me. And that was during the period of time that radio was going through consolidation. The FCC had changed rules, and the radio station that I worked for sold to another and then sold to another, and then that company went bankrupt and somebody else owned the property. And they told me to pack up my stuff and get out of their building. And I thought it was an end. But then the phone rang. This guy named Bud Walters called from the Cromwell Radio Group down in Nashville. He said, Jeff, I've got radio stations all across Illinois. And he said, I don't have my own programming. He said, I've always wanted to have an agriculture network, and I wonder if you could help me. And I got in my old Chevy truck, and I came up here, and I drove the back roads and looked around, and I called him back, and I said, I think I have died and gone to farm boy heaven. And that was almost 20 years ago. He has blessed me. Every single time, he has blessed me. And tonight, I'm not here to talk about me. I want you to hear my struggle. And I want you to see him. And I want you to see how he has helped me. And if he'll do it for me, I know he'll do it for you. This is a welcoming to be able to stand back in front of a group and instead of talking about cows, plows, and sows, to be talking about my Savior. And I am humbled by that. So thank you for the opportunity in advance. And the Lord's been working on me and preparing for this event and so much, and that last night I had a dream. I had a dream that we were here, and then I had in the dream it transitioned to heaven, and we were all there at heaven. And the guys were going into heaven, but there were two lines. And on one line, it was for guys whose women, whose wives ran the household. And friends, this was a very long line. But I looked over in the other line, and it was the sign that said, homes and guys who were head of the household. And wouldn't you know that Jonathan Snouts was the only one in that line? Standing there on his crutches. And I said, John, great that we're here. Wow, this is super. I said, what are you doing over here? And she said, she told me I could stand here. You know, if in my high school days and grade school, I was going to be a basketball star. I was going to play for UK and everything was going to be great. Well, I wasn't quite tall enough and couldn't jump quite high enough, so that didn't happen. You put a basketball in my hands and it's still worth about $20 at Walmart. You put a basketball in LeBron James' hand and he gets paid almost $10,000 for every 60 seconds that he's in a game. Assuming he plays every minute of every game all season long. I never was any good at baseball, but I could whack a rock with a tobacco stick. Yeah. Alex Rodriguez paid over $200,000 per game. Or $22,000 per inning. Now, I'm not the president, and I don't want to be. Mr. Biden pulls in about $11,000 a week. Put some 16-penny nails in my hand, and I'm a wannabe carpenter, by the way, and they're still worth about a dime apiece. Now, a real carpenter could take that 16-penny nails and that two before and could build a home or a business worth a gajillion dollars. God let a group of evil men put nails in the hands and the feet of his son and laid him on wood. And the yield was salvation for all. And when the Lord says all, he means all. And that means you and even me. So the next time that you're feeling down or you're feeling rough and things aren't quite going your way, you're upset that you're not LeBron James or A-Rod or the president, look back and see what the Lord said that you were worth. Let's look at this. For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Jesus Christ our Lord. We got two choices. You can accept that gift or you can turn it away. Now, let's look at a favorite verse, and this is my home for the night. We're going to work out of this. If you watch baseball behind home plate, there's John 3:16. Up in the stands, there's people showing John 3:16. But I don't know that we really break this verse down, and I love to word study. That's where I come from. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son, whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. Break it down. Look at it. For God so loved the world, he gave whoever. Those are the key words that I want to talk about here. What did he not say? He didn't say, God's got some love and he passes it out now and then. He didn't say that. Did he say that, dad's kind of grumpy. Some days he does and some day he doesn't. You got to kind of watch, but generally he's okay with that. You know, and he kind of sort of loves some things from time to time, but you know, it's just depending. Or he didn't say God would love you if you had a shiny car, or God would love you if you gave more in the plate, or God would love you if you did this or that or the other. It wasn't given with a condition. Look at John, 1 John 4:8. Anyone who does not love does not know God, because God is love. If you went through math class, you know is equal. God is love. Jesus said God's agapao love. Agapao. Love is the direction of his will. His joy is in the world. And the world was not the sea and the grass. The cosmos that he's talking about is the people that he created, and that's you and me. His divine will and nature is to love you and me like nothing else, with no condition. He gave first. He started the process. Mark Hall is one of my favorite people, the lead singer of Casting Crowns. He said that this summer. He said, God doesn't love us because we're good. He loves us because he's good. Isn't he? God gave. Where is the condition of the giving? God gave first, not conditioned on our response to his gift. When you're opening presents on Christmas morning, do you leave the best ones under the tree? Where I come from, there's paper and cardboard everywhere, and there's not a gift left to be found. Whoever believes, all. He loves his creation, even the bad people. He loves the people, even the ugly people, like me. He just loves all. And he left it open, knowing that you could choose to accept him or not, but he loved first. So I'm going to make this point later on, but I want to drive it home here right now. If you are of the attitude that I'm going to make God love me more by doing this and this and this and this, you've missed the boat. He already loves you that much. No condition. He loves you. Follow with the rest of the story. Let's go to the gospel. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 3 and 4. For I delivered to you as of first importance what I received, that Christ died for our sins and according to the scriptures, that he was buried and that he was raised on the third day in accordance with the scriptures. Key words, in accordance with the scriptures. It was foretold hundreds of years ago, and it happened just that way. But look at the verbs. Go back to English class where you diagrammed sentences. Died. Christ died. Christ was buried. Christ was raised. What tense is that verb? Future tense? Present tense? Past tense? Say it. The debt is paid. The debt is paid. My chains are gone. The debt is paid. Hebrews 1:3. He is the radiance of the glory of God and the exact imprint of His nature and upholds the universe in the word of His power. After making purification of sins, He sat down. Does it ever feel any better when you get done working to sit down? He did it, and He sat down at the right hand of His Father. What is your view of God? He's painted in so many different ways. Is your view of the person on the throne with the gavel in hand, ready to go, guilty? Is your view of Him, if I don't do this right? Or is your view of those scarred hands with His arms wide open, ready to pull you in? If you think you have to get good for Him to love you, think again. I've got a friend of mine named Bridget, and she's in a wrestling match with cancer. Wonderful conversation, she said. She said, I used to fear Him. Now I love Him. And I don't want to do anything that would hurt Him. We love because He loved. You remember this hymn? I think we could do a good job singing, but I'm not going to tack off on this one. There is a name I love to hear. I love to sing its worth. It sounds like music in my ear, the sweetest name on earth. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Because He first loved me. Let's go back to the beginning. I'm going to use some scripture in the beginning, and then I'm going to tell you some stories as we move along. Genesis 1, verse 11. And God said, let the earth sprout vegetation, plants yielding seed, and fruits and trees, fruit trees bearing fruit, which is their seed, each according to its kind on the earth. And it was so. The earth bore forth vegetation, plants yielding seed according to their own kinds. Trees bearing fruit, which is their seed, each according to its kind. And God saw it was good. Do you see the word study? According to its kind. According to its kind. Keep going. Genesis 1:21. So God created the great sea creatures and every living creature that moves with which the waters swarm according to their kinds and every winged bird according to its kind. And God saw it was good. 24. God said, let the earth bring forth living creatures according to their kinds. Livestock and creeping things and beasts of the earth according to their kinds. And it was so. And God made the beasts of the earth according to their kinds. And the livestock according to their kinds. But we all know Angus is best. And then everything that creeps on the ground according to its kind. And God saw it was good. Now I've got some folks out of the environmental community that say that's not right. Everything is the same. Everything is created even. Men and bugs and worms, they're all the same. And this is the one of the things that I talk about with consumers so they understand. A European corn borer, you know, they eat a lot of corn and they cost us a lot of money and they're hard to kill because they come up out of the ground, go right in the stalk. They cost bajillions of dollars a year. And the only way you could kill them before was an organophosphate. Dangerous stuff. When a corn borer eats protein, his belly blows up. When I eat protein like steak, I get fat. So we found a way to take an amino acid out of the soil and put it into the stalk of a plant. So when that worm bites that plant, boom, belly blows up. That's God taking something simple and handing it to its stewards so we can feed more people. It is that simple because if anybody knows creation, He does. So now let's look at the next one. Genesis 1:26. Then God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. Next chapter, verse 7. Then the Lord formed the man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and he became a living creature. This isn't according to its kind. This is according to the likeness of God. This is the Lord taking dust and looking at a mirror at himself and forming an image of himself, a living and existing autobiography of himself. And then, life. Life. So when you start to doubt your worth and you start to doubt who you are and what can this be and Lord, how can I measure up? You're not a worm. You're not a cow. You're not a mosquito. You are an all autobiography of the master of the universe who said, I love you first. I can't help but bring this in right now. 2 Timothy 3:16. It's been my Bible since 1991. All scripture is breathed out by God. Every word in these pages is the breath of the Lord. Every single one, it's not just a book. It is the living word of our Savior. Theonoustos is the word for God breathed. Exhaled from the mouth of our Lord to feed our spirit and to give us life. Hebrews 4:12, for the word of God is living and active. It deserves a better place than on the dashboard of our truck from Sunday to Sunday. And I've been guilty. What weapons do we have to stand against the forces of the day? A God who created us in his image and a God who gave us his word to give us life and energize us and strengthen us and help us to grow and overcome. This is a profound thought, but remember when John is talking to Nicodemus, and look at the beginning of John. John chapter 1 verse 14, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. God's promise in Genesis that he would put an enmity between the woman and Satan is true in the nature of his son who was God and man at the same time. The Word became flesh, and we crucified him. And he paid the debt for our sin. See if you remember this one. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones to him belong. They are weak, but he is strong. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Every word, every page. We sang it in Sunday school. But when the weight of the world comes down, do we really measure what he gave us? What he's provided? Jesus is speaking to Nicodemus. And remember, Nicodemus would have had a great memory and study of the original covenant where the children of Israel, they goof up. Got to get mad at them. Moses would go running in between. Hold on, please don't. He'd intercede. They get better for a little while, and then they goof up again, and Moses come back in. No, please don't wipe them out. It's okay, come on, just one more try. So now Jesus himself is interceding. Jesus himself is here not to just put off the punishment, but to pay the debt. It's like, if I'm paraphrasing and I'm not trying to add to the word, but it's like Jesus says to Nicodemus, you know, my dad loves you so much that he sent me here to die for you. And if you'll just believe what I'm telling you, your sins will be forgiven and you'll have eternal life. Can you fathom the thought that Jesus actually thought about you? That he actually was in prayer with his Father and thought about me. John 17, the high priestly prayer, night of his betrayal, verse 20. I do not ask in behalf of these alone, for those also who believe in me through their word. If you read Philippians or Corinthians or Timothy or any of the others that recorded what happened, the Gospels that recorded what happened, he's talking about you. That they may be one, even as thou, Father, are in me and I in thee, that they also may be in us, that the world may believe that thou didst send me. He was praying for you and me. He saw us that night before he surrendered. He saw us. And he prayed that prayer for us. Everything that I have shared with you are things that I have known. I'm like you. I've heard them before. I'm not telling you any great theology here. But friends, I can tell you that as an older man, I let the weight of the world get in the way. And I forgot a lot of the things that I just told you. On an Emmaus walk, if you've never been on one, I couldn't recommend it more. 72 hours of listening to the Savior say, I love you. And I heard him say to me, you know about me, but you don't know me. Oh yeah, you got religion. You can quote Greek and Hebrew. Yeah. But do you know me? Is your heart and mind together? And I had to admit that I don't. I didn't. There was a time, just a few years ago, that my marriage was coming apart. And there wasn't a doggone thing that I could do about it. I kept trying to do things to make her like me. I kept trying to make things better. I couldn't make them better. And in my religious life, I kept trying to be better. I'll read more. I'll pray more. I'll. And you know what? I can't do it. And it got rough. Guys, let me ask you a question. Those of you who have hair about my color, how many of you measure your day by what you get done? Come on. You know? Well, I got so many acres. Well, I got so many acres. Yeah. Now, what time did you get up? Well, I got 6. Well, I got up at 5:30. Yeah. Yeah, well, I went to the house at 6 o'clock. Well, I worked till 9. I have taught and preached and read about grace and mercy, but I grew up on a farm. And if I didn't do it the way Dad said, and if I didn't do it the way Granddad said, and the time that they said it needed to be done, I got that look. My freshman year, I played 99 basketball games for my high school. Freshman, sophomore, JV, and varsity. I had 4 coaches that chewed my behind from the time I got there to the time we left. And when I got in the car with Dad, he started. And sometimes that would last for days. and there would be silent treatment and gnashing of teeth. And I have to confess to you, and I love my father. I love my father, and he's gone. He died with cancer. But Dad even took that to his grave, and one of our biggest disagreements was, he said, I just hope that I've done enough in my life to help that God will let me in. And I told the man who was dying of cancer, Dad, you can never do enough to get to heaven. Ephesians 2:8, for it's by grace you've been saved through faith, that not of yourself, it's the gift of God. His pastor told me that in the end, he understood. I kept trying to pray, and I kept feeling what I had learned by example, that I wasn't good enough and he wasn't listening. The further I was separated from my wife, the further I was separated from other things, the further I felt from him, and I felt like my prayers were hitting the ceiling. And then I had some heart trouble. And we're going to have to do open heart surgery. And I am scared to death. And I'm in the sunroom, and I have my Bible out, and I'm reading through Psalms, and I'm praying out loud. And on this one particular day, I am praying, and I am in tears on my knees. Please, Lord, don't. Don't let me go through this without you. Please don't make me go there and not know that you and I are together. Please. I said, I wish I could just feel your arms around me and know that we're together. I had to go meet the surgeon that day. And they wanted me to get a blood test. So I called the hospital and they said, yeah, we'll get you in. Come on over. So I'm doing this while I'm doing farm broadcast and everything else. It's a whirling dervish trying to get it done. They said, we'll get you in. Don't worry. I got over there and the lobby was full. Yeah, great. Okay, so I'm looking at my watch, this, that. Now, what am I going to do? And if you've been in radio long enough, or in the media or other, you know when somebody's eyeballing you? And he's a farmer. I know he's a farmer because the way he's wearing his hat and his jacket, and he's leaning back and his legs are crossed. And he is eyeballing me. And I'm like, that's okay. It's fine. I'm not making any big deal about this. I'm checking my email, and I'm checking my text, and I'm checking my watch, and I'm checking my email, and I'm checking my text. And I'm looking up, and he's eyeballing me. I'm running out of time, and I'm still doing this, and it's like, I got to go. So I get up, and he says, you Jeff Nally? I said, yes, sir, I am. He said, I thought that was you. Yeah. He said, I got a tractor. Really? Nice. Cool. He said, you want to see a picture? Yeah, sure. So he comes walking over. Now, I don't know about you, but it's one of these things. He's like, yeah, I got to hear some word, you know. Lord, please show me a picture of it. So he shows me the tractor. He said, you know, they wrote a book about me. I said, really? He said, yeah, it's about me and my tractor. I said, yeah. He said, it's a kid's book. So he goes further. And I finally said, sir, I'm sorry. But I said, I've got to go. He said, my name's Doc. I said, Doc, I'm pleased to meet you. And he looked at me straight in the eye, and he's in my space now. And he said, Jeff, what's wrong? I said, well, I got to have open heart surgery, and I got to get to Nashville and talk to the surgeon. He said, I'm going to pray for you. Now, we're guys, right? Guys that don't know each other don't touch each other, right? This guy put his hand behind my head like a father would. And he pulled me in. Put his other hand around my back. And he prayed the sweetest prayer. You remember what I had asked God for? That we could be together and that I could feel your arms around me. And he did. fast forward to the day of the surgery. Now, you guys may run me out on the rail, but I swear I'm telling you the truth. My kids had come in. My pastor had come in. And I'm just laying there, nothing but a sheet on between me and the Lord. Scared to death. I could have threaded a sewing machine with the rascal running. I mean, it was... And I'm praying. And the sweetest, the calmest, the most powerful voice I have ever heard said, "Jeff, I'm here." Just for me. So tell me, what makes me special? Nothing. What makes me different than you? Nothing. He loves us all the same. He is a rewarder of those who seek Him. And when you reach to Him, He'll reach back. And when He shows up, there's no doubt. That was January 8th, 2020. Fast forward to August 11, 2020. The marriage is all but done. The reason that I was in the marriage was my kids. And they were leaving for college. I hate taillights. I hate to watch them taillights driving out of the driveway. Especially when my reason for being is in that car. I came to a point that I didn't know what use He had for me anymore. I had no support. I had no love from the missus. They were all going away. All I felt was pressure. I hadn't allowed myself to have Christian brothers. I hadn't allowed myself to have close friends. I was in that position that I could not stand where I was. When I'm in my office in the basement, the walls are closing in and I feel like I'm going to explode and there's no hope and I got to get out. And I go outside and I get to the sunshine and I get to other things and it's still closing in. I had a 9mm Ruger in my top drawer. I'd had two interviews that day and a bunch of broadcasts, and I had Congressman Jimmy Panetta from California. We were supposed to talk at 6 o'clock. And I knew that I either had to get it over with or get back to work. And what I could not understand is why could I not pray my way through it? I am pleading with Him. I am trying. After all that I had experienced, I'm still out here on this end. And I call my doctor's office. I said, "Here's what's going on. What can you do?" "Well, if you tell me that's what's on your mind, we're going to come pick you up and we're going to lock you up for 72 hours. I said, "You ain't doing that." "I'll die for sure." "Come see us tomorrow morning." "Okay." Call my pastor and he recommended, he said, "Man, that's above me." He said, "We got to get you a therapist." He said, "This one's busy. I don't think you'll get to her, but give it a try." Made the phone call. She answered the phone. Saw her the next day. So how can a guy who knows and believes all these things put himself in that place? Because I let the world tell me that Jesus didn't love me. I let the world tell me that I wasn't worthy. And there is this thing that I want to bring up to you called fight or flee. And when fight or flee kicks in, that's when supernatural things happen, because the chemistry in your brain gets out of order. This is why you need Christian brothers. What one of you would not, if your brother called you and said, man, I am having a bad day, things are rough, I need you now. What one of you wouldn't get in that truck and go? But what one of you in that situation would call your brother and tell him you were having a bad day? Pride doesn't let us do that, does it? I'm telling you, we need each other. And we need that theanoustos in our mind and in our heart. Did you ever have a computer that was locked up? You got that little hourglass? And you keep pressing that button and that hourglass just keeps going. You're like, come on, you know, get going. When fight or flee kicks in, you got more stuff coming in than you can process. You got to slow it down. So that little song, Jesus Loves Me, we sang. If you ever get to that situation, first of all, call your brother. Pray. And then narrow your world down. Start shutting things off. Turn off all them other things that don't have to go. And just focus on those words. Focus on that image and that picture and narrow it down so all your noggin has to do is just think about that. And if you see a therapist, this is what happened for me. It's like I dumped all these things on the desk and it was piled up. And I talked for 45 minutes, which is easy for me to do. And when I shut up, she said, okay, here's what I see. And she took all those papers and all those issues and she put them in stacks on the desk. This is related to this. This is this. This is this. This is this. And this is why you feel the way you do. Really? Well, gee, that sounds simple. That's what she did. So it's not wrong to go for help. It's not wrong to have a brother that you call and say, I need help. It's not wrong. And I wonder that night that Jesus was betrayed, was he not feeling just a little bit of fight or flee? What did he do? He took his three best friends and then he went a little further. What I had was nothing compared to what he was. He was going to bear all the guilt and shame and punishment and everything that was rotten for every man for all time was on his shoulders, and his dad is going to turn his back on him because he became sin on our behalf to make us the righteousness of God. But he didn't quit. He prayed his way through it. Amen. And praise be to God that he saw his way through. Now, I'm going to finish with this. The rest of the story. While I'm sitting there being eyeballed, Doc is a farmer who restores old tractors, but he's also a pastor. And he said, Jeff, I tell you as plain as day, God was telling me, go talk and pray for that man. And he said, I told him, he don't know me. He'll tell me to leave him alone. He'll tell me to shut up and get out of his face. And he said, the longer you sit there, the louder he got. And he said, finally, when you got up, I knew I didn't have any choice. So I got up. This year after Easter, I went up and spoke at his church and I told the story. You might be the one in trouble or you might be the one that lends help. But the rest of the story is that we're all in there together. And now I'm taking us home. Throw up that next slide, if you will. Luke chapter 15, verse 20. Dads, I'm going to bet that you've been on both sides of this one. You've been the one that watched your son go away. And you've also been the one who welcomed him back home. And he arose and came to his father, the son who said, you're dead to me. Just give me my inheritance now. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him. How many days had he been gone? I don't know. But his dad was sitting out there looking every day, looking, Where's my son? Where's my son? When's my son coming home? Finally, he saw him. He felt compassion. And he ran and embraced him and kissed him. It's the only recorded place in the Bible where God ran. Old Jewish men don't run. There's a rule. Old Jewish men don't run. I like that rule. Why don't old Jewish men run? Well, they wear robes. And if you're going to run, you got to lift your robe. And if you lift your robe, then they see your legs. And I don't want anybody to see my legs. But that was against Jewish. You couldn't show your legs. He didn't care. That's my son. And the son recognized that he'd done wrong. He said, Dad, I've sinned against heaven. I've sinned to you. I am not worthy to be called your son. And the dad, he didn't say it. I'm just going to improv. Dad said, shut up. And he turned to the servants and he said, get the best robe. Put it on him. Put a ring on his hand. Put shoes on his feet. And you know that Angus calf we've got out there that looks so good? Kill it. We're going to party. My son is alive. He was dead. Now he lives. He was lost. Now he's found. This is my son. What's your view of God? The throne with the hammer ready to drop it, or arms open wide saying, my son is home. Are we there? Do you sense where I'm coming from? The prodigal's pride and his arrogance separated him from his dad. And he wanted to earn the right to be next to his dad again. His dad said, nope. You're my son and I love you. Watch this video. If you don't mind, put your hand on your brother. Heavenly Father, I plead with you now. Holy Spirit, I plead with you now. See the pain that is within the hearts of my brothers. See their fears. And Father, touch them in that place. Father, may Your name be glorified. And may we see You as the loving, compassionate Father and Lord, whose greatest joy and love is in His creation. Father, for those who are here tonight and for those whom they touch, and Father, for those that will be touched, I pray Your name be glorified and their hearts be stilled as You stilled the storm. And help us to live this life as if we have won, because we have won because of You. And help us to see You at the end of our tomorrows, cheering us on and welcoming us home. The kingdom of God, Father, is where You are. So join us now with You and bind the bond that will never be broken. And edify this body, that we live in the strength and the honor and the power to magnify You and Your glory. Bless this place and the mission of this camp to teach the love of a loving Father and a Savior who died to live. It's in Christ Jesus' name I pray. Amen.